The following content is not suitable for children.
I just don't like sex.
Boo.
Welcome to Foreplay Radio, Couples and Sex Therapy. I'm Lori Watson, your sex therapist.
And I'm George Fallon, your couples therapist.
And we are passionate about talking about sex and helping you develop a way to talk to each other.
Our mission is to help our audience develop a healthier relationship to sex that integrates the mind, the heart, and the body.
Hey, don't forget to check out uberlube.com with the coupon Foreplay. It really helps us to support the podcast and keep delivering free content. Thanks so much.
So today we're going to talk about women who don't like sex and try to figure out what in the world that is about. I just did want to talk a little bit first about kind of what's going on in our lives. I know, George, you're doing important work in the Ukraine, and I'd love for you to say a few words about that.
Yeah, it's my honor to meet, you know, a couple times a month with the Ukrainian community of therapists. Some are EFT, some are all over the place, but really just trying to help people who are overwhelmed on so many fronts. Not just as therapists, but personally. I mean, imagine having your partner off in battle, and then you're trying to help people with their traumas and loss. And it's just incredibly overwhelming, but also inspiring, you know, how resilient people can be and how appreciative they are of kind of getting help, of having people just sit with them and helping them make sense of. It reinforces for me the power of just having a witness, someone who is impacted by your story so you don't have to face it alone. It's basically what we do so often when we meet is just come together to share each other's stories. And, you know, that's
and really
the power. That's pretty awesome.
Really sharing the story is a way that we, you know, help people not feel so alone and not feel in so much pain.
Yeah, when you're desperate and overwhelmed, you really do need some space to just normalize your experience. You're not crazy. You're not failing. I mean, these people are so passionate to want to help their clients. And there's a lot of things you can't change. You can't end the war. You can't bring people back to life. But just be able to kind of say, wait a second, what you're experiencing is overwhelming. And humans are not supposed to deal with all they're dealing with.
That's right.
Right. So when you develop symptoms of anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress, this is all what humans do when you're dealing with what they're dealing with. So, you know, as much as I'm trying to help them, and, you know, I think they give me so much in just reminding me of just the shared human nature we all have. And the basic needs we all have to not be alone when we're dealing with some real negative dark places.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, that's what we see even with lesser issues, right? You know, I was struggling with something last week and called a couple of friends and just talked it over. And just having compassion, having somebody know and really saying, hey, I get it. I get that you're struggling. I'm here. Call me if you need me. That there's so much relief in that. And we know, you know, we're talking to couples every day who are struggling with relational, sexual problems. And there's so much relief in telling a therapist. There's so much relief in not feeling alone in it, you know, that they're the only ones who suffer. And I think especially about sexual problems, nobody really talks about that. And so I hear lots and lots of letters from people who say, you know, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for talking about it because they're not hearing this. And I think just connecting with others and knowing that you're not alone in your suffering and in your problems is helpful.
Exactly. And I think we're both in agreement. This is a mission for us.
Yes.
You know, we are looking for opportunities to normalize people's struggles and just to get them to talk about it because we do so much. But when we're overwhelmed, we don't have a lot of energy. We tend to isolate. We tend to just want to keep to ourselves. And that just starts a spiral that makes things so much worse. So I look for whatever opportunities I can to start discussing some of these things I'm exposed to in different places. So, you know, we're doing a training in different parts of the world, and we hear about female circumcision.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't know about that. So I had a family trip at my lake house with like 40 people. Most of them are young. You know, we're having fun and kayaking and playing beer bong and all this. But, you know, I also wait for moments to talk about these things. They're like, no way that really happens. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's tough, you know, to enjoy sex when you don't have a clitoris. And like, so you know, at this party we had, we formed the Protect the Clitoris Club, you know, but then the whole, you have 40 people talking about, you know, PCC, Protect the Clitoris Club. And it's just, I'm hoping breaking down walls, making people more comfortable talking about these things.
We're all
trying to have fun, but also this is a mission, inviting people in to just get more comfortable talking about these things and making a difference.
And I want to thank people. We've had lots of patrons over the years, and we recently had two new ones. And we just thank you for your financial support, too. That is a way to directly support us. George and I spend time researching and teaching, and we're currently starting to write a book. And it really does help us spread this work and do what we do. So we appreciate it very much. And absolutely. Find us on Instagram. We have a new Instagram name. It's Foreplay Sex Therapy Podcast. So it's Foreplay_Sex Therapy Podcast. Please find us on Instagram and follow us and like us and share us. And we're doing some.
We took out the radio because the younger generation didn't know what it was. what's a radio?
Yes, we did. So let's go back to women who don't like sex. And we use the research particularly of Gurit Birnbaum, who's an Israeli researcher.
We're going to meet in a couple months, right?
Yeah.
When you go to Israel.
Yeah, so exciting. And she basically talks about that this anti-erotic experience of women is based on, number one, what we always talk about, the lack of communication. Also that women fear being a failure. And they get preoccupied with pleasing their partner. And then they have these self-monitoring, judgmental thoughts. And these are kind of some of the ways that the sexual experience for them is down-regulated.
Right. And that's what we're encouraging our listeners to do, is try to get more specific. I think most people I work with that don't like sex, when you ask them why, they don't know. It's just, I don't like it. And I don't want to talk about it. They avoid it. So they're not really clear about what that is. So I love what you're introducing here, these categories, trying to help people like get curious. What is going on? What are the good reasons? You know, I always, when I ask a couple, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, you know, a partner say, I've had sex for 25 years. It's enough. I don't need any more sex the rest of my life. And you're like, whoa, what got you to that place where the thought of having sex is like that much of a turnoff that you would just be so much better off without it?
I know that it is. I don't understand it. It was kind of what I kept hearing when people called my center. They would say things like, I just don't want to have sex again. I don't care if I ever have sex again. I was like, ooh, you know, which is why I wrote a book about it, like wanting sex again, just trying to discern what all these issues were. And I think, you know, I think there's this research that we follow has really centered on three different areas that we're going to talk about, and then we'll do a little role play on it as well. But, you know, relationally, a lot, and this is really about female low libido. So why don't women want to have sex, which, gosh, I think men who do want to have sex want to understand.
Yes. So just give us the three categories and we'll get more.
Okay.
So you got relational is one.
Right, relational. And then there's this worry-centered part of their brain. And and then there's the pleasure-centered sexual experience. So it's relational, the worried mind, and the pleasure-centered sexual experience.
Okay.
So in the relationship, you know, women find the romantic connection and the attachment to their partner as a big gas pedal. I mean, that they talk about in the research as, yeah, this is a turn on. This is why I do want to be sexual, when I feel connected to you. You know, over the years, I would say some women who don't feel connected to their partner, it's just, it's an absolute wall.
Right. So you have on one extreme the wall, the distance, the boredom. Mm-hmm. And the other extreme, you're going to have the conflict, the fighting, the reactivity, the defensiveness. Mm-hmm. I mean, both of those relational things are going to kind of do something to the libido.
Exactly. If your partner is not engaged with you, you know, and there's just so little going on there, you know, there's little to feel about them relationally. I know a couple who they function really well and, you know, they've raised good kids, all of that. But when they are around each other, there's just, you know, I'm around them and there's nothing. You know, it's like they're just moving satellites around this planet of life, and they might bump into each other or might not, but there's just, they're not talking, they're not engaging, they're not sharing anything about their inner world. It's, you know, it's really disconnected.
Right. I had a couple, I gave them a homework assignment, just two or three times a day, use each other's name. It's amazing how we never use each other's name. Just, you know, saying Lori, George, like that just does something to spark the other person's engagement. I mean, how can you be with somebody and never even use their name anymore? And that's what happens in relationships. It's just like, hey, can you get that? There's no name. So these little things that just kind of spark that.
Yes. I do love that, right? Having my name said, it does just perk me up. I get it. I have friends sometimes who say my name a lot, and there's just something engaging about that. And I think the other side of the relationship problems, like you said, are the conflicts. Couples who have a lot of conflict. I would say I almost have a little more hope for those couples because at least they're engaging with each other, you know?
Well, we do lots of podcasts on the relationship influence to low libido, and that's, I think, so important to highlight because people put it as a problem within the person and don't see it within the relationship. And we see it within a relationship. Not wanting to have sex is usually a result of the sex not being so great, of not being so engaged. There are good reasons your body starts to turn off. So really, we could spend hours on the relationship piece of it, but let's get to the other two.
Okay. So like the worry part of the sexual experience for a woman, it's a break. You know, she may be feeling fear of displeasing her partner, disgust about certain aspects. She may feel guilty. I mean, some people feel immoral about different activities. You know, they feel like, okay, their partner's not really sexually competent. I have women tell me all day long, George, that, look at, I have told him how I like my clitoris touched. I have showed him, and you know, it's like he'll do one or two little strokes and boom, he wants to do intercourse. And like, does he not get that I need this? I mean, I hear this and my heart just breaks because these are people who've been married for years and years and they might go ahead and have sex, but they're really not getting anything out of it. So that's a big worry. And I also,
maybe that's a new club we got to form.
Oh, yes.
Touch the clitoris club correctly. Or touch the, something like that.
Touch the clitoris club correctly. So it's TTCCC.
Touch the clitoris correctly club.
Yeah.
Touch the clitoris correctly club. I think this, a lot of men would need help in that area.
Again, yes.
Where do you get it? Who tells you how to do it? Unless you're really open to feedback from your partner. A lot of times you take it as criticism. And, you know, a lot of men feel like they're failing and they don't want it. And women try to protect them from that. So then they never get the feedback that they need. So if you're listening, please join this club. Welcome the feedback. It's going to make you better.
We need merch. The TTCC merch. Yeah. Touch the clitoris club. Yeah, absolutely. And I think so many men don't even know where the clitoris is or that's the center of her world. I had a man come in and say, look at, I was with a lot of women before I got married. Like none of them needed clitoral stimulation to climax. I'm like, okay. Wonder how many of them actually climaxed, you know, because all women need it.
And it's not the guy's fault. That's what he's been told his whole life. That's what
I don't know that it's
shows.
Not the guy's fault when he's been with a whole lot of women not to know that.
That's a whole lot of women not giving him feedback.
Yeah, or maybe, you know,
he's giving a vibe you don't want the feedback. I'm sure it's some
right.
combination.
Come
right?
on, but it's.
It's what I'm saying. This is.
Or does he even ask? You know, is it good for you? You know, and does he even care?
What was the last movie you saw, where you saw the female turn to the husband or partner and give feedback, and that was like part of the scene?
Absolutely. Okay, you got me there. None.
So again,
I don't see that.
We never see it, and we don't grow up in families that talk about it. How the hell are we supposed to know how to do it or want feedback from it?
I guess we all got to grow up in the Fowler family that they're doing.
We're trying to change it. I didn't grow up doing
club.
That. We're trying. This podcast has really helped me push my own envelope, and I don't want my sons to grow up the way I grew up, with a lot of ignorance and then being protective of my own ignorance.
Yeah.
Right. Which doesn't mean things are going to change. Like, how cool to be welcoming feedback. If you can get a partner to buy into wanting feedback, that changes the game.
Let's take a break and come back and talk about the pleasure-centered sexual experience.
If you guys are like me and really want to find a good doctor, whenever you have something that you need a specialist for, or you just want to find somebody nearby who's great, go to ZocDoc.com. That's ZocDoc.com. And basically, they've done all the research for you. There are doctors who are patient reviewed, who will take your insurance and be available when you need them. So this is a great resource. It will find a doctor that's right for you. You'll be able to book an appointment in person or remotely, whatever works in your schedule. Every month, millions of people use ZocDoc. I'm one of them. It's my go-to really whenever I want to find and book a quality doctor. ZocDoc.com/foreplay. Download the ZocDoc app for free. Start your search today. There are many appointments that are available within 24 hours. It's easy. ZocDoc.com/foreplay. ZocDoc.com/foreplay.
We'd just love to invite you to our Great Sex, Great Love couples retreat on Friday, October 28th, 2022. 10 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, George and I are really going to help you apply what you learn in the podcast to your relationship. So if your marriage or partnership is functional, but it's not that exciting, or you want to deepen that connection and really improve your intimacy, or, you know, make sex something that isn't just a check off your list and try to bring the sizzle back, please join us. We are going to spend a whole day enhancing your relationship and intimacy, dealing with the cycle, making it safe for you to talk about desire, talk about the actual sex acts that you're doing, also express what's going on in your mind, body, and heart, and your spirit to find deeper sexual connection with each other. That's October 28th. You can find it on foreplaysextherapy.com under our resources to sign up now.
So the worries and the stress, it could be, I mean, we know stress does bad things to you.
Right.
And, you know, you could have body image, you could have had bad past experiences, you could have had trauma. You know, we get that if you're in your own head, you're not present in your body, it's going to be hard to relax, which is what's often needed for great sex.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we want you to get more specific. Like, what is it that you're worrying about? Just don't settle for something as vague as "I worry too much." Worry mm-hmm. about what? The list of things you have to do, the bad thing that's going to happen, your partner's smelly breath. Like, there is something your brain is worrying. And the more specific you get it, the more we can identify the target of what we can do to reduce that worry. And that's the beauty of these breaks, that if they can be identified and they can be shared and they can be responded to, the act of your partner helping you with the worry actually changes it from a brake to a gas pedal.
Yes.
That worry, it leads to connection, which leads to that, you know, that engagement and that strengthening of the bond that I think so many couples don't understand. There's that opportunity. They try to protect themselves from increasing the worry, but then they miss the solution to the worry, which mm-hmm. is their partner's engagement.
Mm-hmm. Being able to tell your partner, "This is what I'm worried about," is so vulnerable. And I just want to say, a really big worry that I hear from women all the time is the worry about their body image, right. You know, that they don't feel good enough in some way. And I think it's kind of relative. I have very few friends and have talked to very few women who feel a lot of body positivity, mm-hmm. you know, but most of them, it's like, I mean, they look great to me. And it's like, oh, you know, my breasts are too small. My breasts are too big. My butt is too big. My bed is too small. You know, I mean, they're rocking, great looking, and have hot bodies. And they think that they don't. And that's an interference when they're naked, you know, right. in their sexual experience. They're focusing on a tiny piece of cellulite or something, and they think their partner is looking at that and critical. And it's like this audience of criticism that they feel.
Yes. And a lot of men need to give compliments outside the bedroom. I think that's where the body images really help to tell your partner they look beautiful, or you just like the way they walk, or, you know, look at the way they turn. And these little things outside the bedroom that don't have to lead immediately to sex, I think what allows a lot of these women to trust and to kind of feel, I mean, that's what we do our kids, right? We say, look, you're beautiful. Look, I love the way you jump. I love the way you dance. I love the way, like, it's those that allow people to feel that confidence in their own body. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think as couples, we spend enough time doing that with each other.
Mm. And
men want to hear it too, right?
Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. Yeah. And I just got to say, every once in a while, George, you wax a little poetic. You know, it's just like, I love the way you move. I love the way you turn. Those are beautiful things, you know. Lovely. Thank you.
Get lucky every once in a while. Thank you. If you throw enough things at the wall, something sticks.
That's my way of going through life.
But let's hit that third category.
Okay. Story. So the pleasure-centered sexual experience is, you know, what does she get out of it? Does she feel pleasure in an arousal? Does she have an orgasm? Does she leave the experience satisfied, you know, with relief and being calm and mm-hmm. that beautiful afterglow? Is it something that it's so reinforcing? I think it's such a dopamine reward to have a satisfying sexual experience that, you know, without this, there's little motive, right?
Right. I couldn't agree more. How do you stretch that? How do you install that? We know our brains have a negativity bias. So when you actually have success, to stretch that success, to kind of remind yourself of those successes, right? That's what starts to grow it. So if you do have that orgasm and you fall into each other's arms and you're in that afterglow, how do you not rush to get up and take a shower, to just lay in that place and say, how lucky am I? How lucky are we? I mean, how cool is it that this is the way we get to spend this moment? Right. Just being that intentional, I think does so much to just say, like, I can't tell you how many times couples where they have those moments, they're like, why do we not do this more? Like, it's so magical. It's just so like, isn't this the point of all this work and all these balls in the air to get these moments where another person sees you and watch you and you're connected and you're why? I mean, that's the good stuff why we're here.
Every day. Every day, that is such a good feeling, right? Just laying with your partner naked afterwards and you're relaxed and it's just like your skin is warm. It just, yeah.
You're freaking people out, though. It could be every 3 days or once a week, whatever's your, no. you know, whatever your sweet spot is. We're not putting pressure here.
No, it's just, you know, I can feel it as you talk about it. That is a reward. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a problem for women who don't want sex. Something's happening. The sexual, yep. I talked to a woman recently and it was like, it's terrible for me. You know, he's done. He goes to sleep and I'm awake just like, what was that all about? And it's not like she doesn't know, although she does say, you know, it's hard to articulate it. It's hard to say. Sometimes her mind is confused when she's asked that question. What's going on for you? It's like, there's so many things going on.
Yeah. I love that little example because maybe we'll role play that. Because when he falls asleep, she doesn't get the space to be curious and talk about and process kind of what didn't work so well for her. You know, when you have nowhere to go with it, it's normal for your body to get frustrated and resentful. And before you know it, you're focusing on your partner instead of what's going on inside of you, right? And that shift towards getting defensive stops the person from really being clear on what blocks their desire, their success. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how about we role play that, just try to set up having a discussion about that.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. I don't know how realistic this is, but we're speeding this up. But imagine as the partner, I'm going to be Joe again, that I actually have listened to a podcast, right? And I've like, I
am starting. Or picked up a book or, right. You know.
Well, we know this foreplay podcast is pretty successful. So Joe's becoming a listener. But, you know, so for me to say to you, you know, Maria, I really have through the years been so frustrated by your lack of initiation that I really blame you for it. But I'm really starting to get like, there's a reason for it. There's something going on inside of you that makes your body less interested than mine. Right. And we've talked about it globally. Like you're just not in a mood, but I really would like, you know, whenever you feel like the right time, to just try to understand what are some of those things. Maybe there's something we could do with it. Maybe there's not. But I hate that you feel blamed for it all the time. I really think that there's good reasons for it. I want to give you some space to try to understand what those are so you don't have to be alone with that.
Well, I appreciate you trying to have this conversation. It's hard for me to talk to you because I do feel like we get into fights about this, but mm-hmm. I don't know, just being with you this weekend, I do feel a little closer and safer. So I guess one thing I would say to you, Joe, is like when it's a night and I don't come and you do, and you know, it's like afterwards, there's really no energy for me. You know, I sometimes I think about it. I think, does he know I didn't come? And if things were different, I might ask you, like, could you touch me now? Or could you spend some time on me? But it's like you just sort of fall flat. And it's almost like you hug me and that's good. But then you're asleep in 5 seconds. And it, for me, it just begins to feel selfish. It's like, you got yours. You're not even asking what I did. And my body stays awake. Mm-hmm. I mean, I stay awake, dissatisfied. You know, maybe I was a little aroused. Maybe I wasn't. But, you know, having intercourse, I feel mm-hmm. something. And then there's like nothing for me. And then I find myself getting angry and resentful and just like, why should I go up that mountain with you? Why should I do this with you?
I'm trying not to get defensive, right? I because there's lots of times I've tried to talk about it and it felt like you haven't wanted to talk about it. It's like why do we always have to try to talk about these things? But I do hear you saying like you can give me feedback that would be helpful. And maybe in the past I wasn't open to that. Like all I can say now is I would want to know things. I would want to know like, If you didn't orgasm and there's something I could do, like I can stay awake or keep my energy, like I can do that. I could, you know, find a way because I think that is really important to me. I guess maybe I kind of give up too and think, you know, you just wanted me to have an orgasm. Now we're done. But I mean, I'm glad that, you know, it doesn't work for you sometimes and you'd want to talk about it because I think that's really important for us.
Okay. As we talk about it, wait, I want to just take a little aside. You know, okay, my partner is now open. He's received something. And what comes up for me as probably a more natural pursuer emotionally is the floodgates are opening. Like now I want to tell him every complaint I have. You know, it's so natural that when you're listened to a little bit, more things arise. But I can imagine in this conversation, right, Joe's doing the best he can to not be defensive, to listen. And if I flood him with, oh, and this and this and this and this and this, he's not going to be able to bear it all. And it will probably blow up. in a fight. So I think what we're doing here is we're talking about that single moment of what happens for her when she hasn't climaxed and he falls asleep. And that's enough. That's like one conversation, and we could take an hour on this. You know, we don't have time in this podcast, but we could take a long time processing this, and we should. And I think couples, when they start to have conversations, they have to isolate little moments and little parts so that they go back and forth and about one piece. And as the maybe more traditional emotional withdrawer, you're doing a great job coming toward me, inviting me into talking about something. You're initiating talk, which is new, you know, or you're initiating it in a non-defensive way and not blaming me. And I can just feel like, you know, okay, this is great. He heard this and he's not getting angry at me. And I am being able to offer a complaint. And there's more.
Yes.
But we got to do it one at a time.
Exactly. So remember the goal and remember the focus to reach that goal. The goal here is for Maria to be able to get clear about what blocks her libido.
Right.
So if I'm Joe, I'm reminding myself of that goal. I want her to have success. I want her to move the needle in trying to understand that. Mm-hmm. For me to do that, I have to keep my focus on her. This isn't about me and defending myself. There's not the time to do that. We can get that at another time. But right now, it's trying to keep the focus on her. And if Maria has success with being given that space, she will talk about it more the next time a little bit more freely. And the more success we have, the more we're going to understand these blocks, the more we'll be able to work through them.
Okay, so give me some success for what I told you. Joe, I'm Maria again.
Yeah, that would suck to feel that it's all about me having an orgasm and then I don't even care about you and just go to sleep. I mean, that would make anyone not want to have sex, right? So if we could figure out, if you can give me feedback on what I can do, I am very open to that. I think you deserve to have the same experience as me. And I want to do everything I can to make that happen. And I really appreciate you bringing this up because I know it's not easy to do.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad, you know, this feels like a different kind of talk and a different conversation. I guess that podcast you're listening to is pretty good.
All right.
Okay, thanks, y'all. Find us on Instagram, foreplay_sextherapypodcast. Thanks for your support. Thanks for listening.
Keep it hot, y'all.
Call in your questions to the Foreplay Question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4PLAY. That's 833-MY-4PLAY. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes. All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor. This podcast is copyrighted by Foreplay Media.
Rana Glickman here.
Ryan Safi here.
The co-hosts of Ask Rana with Rana and Brian.
There's only two of us, but I get third billing.
Our Fabulous Advice podcast comes out every Tuesday. We answer all kinds of pressing questions like...
What do you do when your boyfriend's mother is poisoning you? Or when you get an Airbnb host who dies? We have... fabulous guests like Conan O'Brien,
Lamorne Morris,
Nick Kroll,
Hannah Einbinder.
Listen to Ask Rana on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.